Welcome back, Joe Torti, 97.5, the Fanatic. Josh Rabick is producing final hour of the show. Let's talk about this this Philadelphia Phillies situation here, because this thing's been botched royally from the beginning. There's something that I always talk about, and it's true in the NFL. It's true in the NHL. It's true in the NBA, certainly. And in Major League Baseball, let's be honest. In Major League Baseball, it doesn't really matter, except in this particular instance. There are good teams, and there are bad teams. And both of those things are okay. Both of those are natural, I would say, cycles in the championship process, right? Some years you're good, some years you're bad, and it doesn't mean that you're going to be good forever. It doesn't mean that you're going to be bad forever, right? That's just the way that these things work sometimes. There's only one thing that's terrible in sports from a franchise perspective. Uncertainty, not knowing, lack of self-awareness, whatever it is. You've got to be intimately aware of whether you're a good team, whether you're a bad team. We've seen it happen all the time in the NHL, right? Josh, you know this, you're a hockey guy. Every year at the trade deadline, there's a team that goes all in. And we're like, why did you do that? You're not going to win. You're insane. And then they don't. This year it was Columbus. There was never a prayer that the Columbus Blue Jackets were ever going to win a Stanley Cup. With or without Panarin and Duchesne and everybody else that they... And they were still like, yep, we got to go. We got to load up. Columbus is going to be in trouble now at this point. There are teams everywhere in the NFL that think that they're contenders that are not. Certainly that happens in the NBA too. And you've seen how teams have gone the other way, where if they're not going to win a championship, they're going to try to lose as many games as they possibly can. Like, we've seen the way that that goes. What does this have to do with the Philadelphia Phillies? Actually, everything, right? Decisiveness is unbelievably important when it comes to building out the backbone, the foundation of your team. And when it comes down to it, there are / were a lot of incredibly, I would say, strong, competent managerial candidates. Just because you're not sure about your one that you have, if that costs you the opportunity to build, it's a catastrophic offseason.
Let's open it up in chat.
Yeah. This is not a crush Gabe thing. It's really not. It's if you're not sure that Gabe is the guy for you when it comes to winning the World Series, to kind of sit back on your hands and not do anything is organizational malpractice. Say it all the time. It's not what I would call my proudest moment of my life, but something important for growth. I was dating somebody throughout high school. Had a pretty good relationship with this person overall. Had the normal bumps and bruises that you normally do along the way. And then I met someone. Never cheated or did anything like that. I'm a very faithful person. It's very important to me. But I knew that once you know, you know. I met this person. Said, excuse me. I walked out.
I like a nice, tight, muscular ass.
It always helps. Always helps. Walked out on the balcony, called the person that I was dating, said, I'm sorry, this isn't going to work out anymore. It's not a catastrophic event. It's just not it. I go and I take a chance with this other person, and 12 years later, we have been married for 5 years and have 2 kids and stuff like that, right? It's not always that there has to be something. There doesn't always have to be this Gabe Kapler mismanagement situation. There doesn't have to be a blow up. He doesn't have to be, I don't know, smoking weed and hitting on co-eds like allegedly Jay Gruden was doing in this video, right? It doesn't have to be anything crazy. But sometimes, if you're looking at the team, thinking the team doesn't respond, we want to get Joe Maddon, we want to get Joe Girardi, we want to get whoever else in here. Sometimes you've got to do something. If you just know that what you're doing now isn't right, or if you see what's right on the horizon for you. Instead, what the Phillies are doing is nothing. Now, there's no real word on whether the Phillies are going to be able to retain Gabe Kapler. There's no word on whether they're instead going to look to move on from Gabe Kapler. Same RE Matt Klentak. You've got Carlos Santana and Jake Arrieta literally fighting about the Phillies locker room culture. Because Arrieta's talking about how the culture was better this year without Santana. How many times? I saw this on SNY because I try to keep up with things in the tri-state area. SNY is reporting that Mickey Callaway could be a candidate for the Phillies pitching coach job. We're all over the place. And instead, now we're looking at it and we're thinking this could be something that could change the way that your franchise operates in a similar way that the Bryce Harper deal did, where there was a truth before the Bryce deal and there's a different truth after the Bryce deal. And there's more great news coming to us from NJ.com. Now, the word is that there's a potential Joe Maddon, Garrett Cole package situation a-brewing. Bill Shaken of the LA Times says that Joe Maddon going to the Angels could help lure Garrett Cole away and into Los Angeles there. I'm sorry, if you're looking at your starting pitching and you think that Garrett Cole's an answer, which I do, I really like Garrett Cole a lot. I think that that's something that you should have looked at. And the Angels are doing what they need to do, right? They fired Ausmus on Monday after 1 year, right? Because they identified Joe Maddon as a guy who could get them to where they needed to go. From a personnel standpoint, it seems, and also from a managerial standpoint. That's what decisive teams do, and it's not like the Angels have been the poster child for stability or excitement or anything like that, right? It's not like they've been this outrageous team, but they've swung. C.J. Wilson and Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton paid the big money to Mike Trout. They're going for it. They've continued to go for it. Joe Maddon makes sense. Two arms. Remember when Rich Renteria was fired by the Cubs for doing like a reasonably good job? You remember that? But the Cubs identified Joe Maddon and they were like, if we get Joe Maddon, John Lester will come here. And that's exactly what happened. There's a chance that this works out that way. Again, so one, you could have upgraded from the likes of Gabe Kapler. All due respect to Gabe, I just think that Joe Maddon's a better manager. And you get the inside track on the Garrett Cole situation as well. You need to understand who you are. Self-identification, know thyself, is an unbelievably important piece of advice for anybody. I would offer it to the Phillies right now. Know who you are and who you're not. Know what your jobs are, know what your goals are, and what they're not. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. You've got to understand why you're doing what you're doing, or else you're just going through the motions. Speaking of that, I think I saw, Josh, did you see this too? There's like a media-led movement in Pittsburgh to try to force the owner to sell the team. They're like, you're doing such a terrible job with the Pirates that, like, with this being a public trust, you're not doing your job and you need to be removed from your position. I was like, wow, you know what? Gabe Kapler talks about analytics and doesn't eat ice cream, spits it into a bucket and stuff like that, and pulls Aaron Nola a little bit early. But at least there's not that situation where there's somebody who runs one of those like pay-to-read sites is trying to mount this thing.
Right, and just 6 or 7 years ago, the Pirates looked like they were the up-and-coming franchise out of the NL.
Oh, man. You know, I call the Pirates, and I've called them this since the time I was very small, so it's kind of sad that nothing's really changed. They're the farm system for all of the real baseball teams. So, like, they'll go and they'll grow the talent required. So whenever the Yankees need an ace, they're like, oh, we got Garrett Cole right here. Whenever the Mets need, like, a slugger, they're like, hey, do you need Jason Bay? Got Jason Bay for you already. He went through all of the rookie struggles and stuff like that. Phillies want to load up for the World Series or the Yankees or whoever. Yeah, Andrew McCutcheon's here. Go crazy. It's insane. So, yeah, I saw that that people are trying to force the Pirates owner to sell the team.
It's such a shame, too, because they have one of the most beautiful ballparks in all of baseball as well. Yeah. And they do this thing called Buck Night, apparently. I went there one time. And so they sell all of their concession stand stuff, outside of beer, obviously, for $1.
Ooh.
So I got 8 hot dogs that night for $8. I got a drink for $1, and it was fantastic. They even gave away free T-shirts that night. It was a great experience.
For free T-shirts, not even $1 for the T-shirt. That's amazing. That's awesome. Well, you'd almost have to in order to do that. Who was the other player that they I think he ended up in Boston during the Jason Bay era. The other really good hitter. Oh, my gosh. Or not even really good hitter, but... Oh, geez, it's going to come to me. Not Jason Bay. Oh, my gosh. So bad. Not going to remember. I thought Josh would be there for me. But, I mean, when I give him clues like that other guy... You know, during that time, and he doesn't come up with it. I mean, you know, what am I going to say?
Sorry, I didn't follow the Pirates that hard. I was just there
for
free stuff.
You're on Buck Night. I mean,
as a guy who follows Philadelphia sports teams, I'm used to, you know, my $20 beers and everything. I'm showing up there cleaning up during Buck Night.
That's not bad. You're like, hey, we got to bring this back home, man. We got to get this thing figured out. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. The self-awareness issue with the Phillies, it makes me very upset when I look at the way that the things are going to play out this offseason, because they really, really did go for it in terms of last offseason and loading up and doing everything else. It makes me frustrated that they're not taking that one next step, you know, like the one more thing that you might need to do in order to put a bow on it, effectively, to really put yourself in a position where you're going to be one of the big time contending teams. Xavier Nady was the team I was thinking of. The player I was thinking of. He ended up with the Yankees. Xavier Nady. And I think they had Nate McLouth at one point, also turned into a good player elsewhere. There's one more. Adam LaRoche, right? Anytime you need anything, Pirates have your back. They're like the well that keeps on giving. I can't wait to see. Would you be interested in the Phillies poaching any of their outfielders at this point? I don't know about that. I'm intrigued a little bit by, like, Starling Marte.
Yeah, I was about to say, Marte is kind of the one that stands out to me, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, hey, they have the Steelers and Penguins. I don't feel bad about them getting screwed over with the Pirates.
Oh, yeah, Steelers are great. Look really good. It's too bad.
Yeah, they can cry with all their Super Bowls.
It's too bad. 610-632-0975. Joe Verrecchia, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself, but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. I think that's Sun Tzu. I think that's The Art of War. I'm sure that he's going to reply and let me know what it is. Is that what it is? Yep, it is. There we go. Good stuff. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, that's why I am interested in Howie Roseman as a drafter. Because I think Howie Roseman generally, has a pretty good feel for who is going to go where. Right? I think that he has a decent feel for the value that is on the board. But what I don't think he knows is, all right, this is where the players are going. Which of these players do you want? You know what I mean? We understand that this is the list. The comparison that I've made in the past, and it's not a perfect comparison, but it is a comparison I've made in the past. Most Madden NFL football games, if you don't know this already, have preset draft orders. So there are only so many Madden drafts that you can possibly get. And they are based on often who the top quarterback is in that year's draft. And the draft will just go according to however that is, minus whatever picks the user or player-controlled teams are. So and the ratings are already set out. So you can look all of this stuff up. So let's pretend that Howie has this crystal ball. And he can determine the draft order, pretty much, of a lot of these people, or more or less where they're going to go, which rounds they're going to be selected in the draft. Draft order only matters on draft night. After that, it's who are the actual players? What are their ratings going to be? Which players do you want to have on your team? That is where I think the Eagles have kind of stumbled a little bit. Is they've gotten it, like Dillard's an exception, right? Because they determined that this is where this guy was going to go in the draft. That was the player that they wanted, so they got into that position, and it was a position that they needed, et cetera, right? But in the past, I think that we've seen them kind of take players slotted where they were supposed to be slotted, and they weren't the right ones. They didn't end up taking the right players. I know that Gabe Kapler has one more year left on his deal, so technically you don't have to do anything. But the football term is that everyone's always in constant competition, right? Nobody's job is safe. You're competing for your job every single day. Honest question, and not to crush the individual, how has Gabe done? How has Gabe done competing for his own job every single day? I don't think that he's done enough for it to be a runaway lockdown, like this is an obvious thing that Gabe Kapler is going to be back, right? Brad Stevens for the Boston Celtics did not do an elite level job coaching last year. I think it's fair to say. But the track record is such that, yeah, you know that that guy's not getting fired. He's done what he's supposed to do. If Bill Belichick and the Patriots have a 6 or 7 win season next year, say Tom Brady retires at the end of this year, which he won't, but say that he did, and they had a down year, you think Bill Belichick's getting fired? There's no way. No way. With Gabe Kapler, I just want to know what it is that's been such a strong performance that keeps him from being fired. What has he done that makes it so impossible that you'd even consider moving on from this guy? Because here's the truth. The fan base has considered it, and in a lot of cases, fan bases made up their minds, passed judgment, and decided how they felt about it. What's next for you? 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. On Twitter, it's at Joe Torti at 97.5. The Fanatic? Man. It's a shame. The Packers are all banged up now. You got Devontae Adams out. He's kind of like the big X factor. It feels really good that the Eagles beat Green Bay. Kind of stinks that they softened them up for the Cowboys, though, doesn't it? Especially Cowboys coming off of that loss to New Orleans. Kind of a bummer. Hope they're able to hang in there. That would be a big favor for the Packers to do for the Eagles. Could be back in division, the division lead right there after Sunday. Sign up for that. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. All right, we got 3 minutes, Josh. SmackDown happened. This is Torty After Dark. There's no one else here. This is a safe space. Talk about whatever you want, but confine it to this period of time. Josh, the floor is yours, should you want it, to get into whatever tickled you about pro wrestling tonight.
I'll tell you what. So WWE's trying to make a big splash now that they're on Fox.
Yes.
Fox put big money. We're talking about billions of dollars. I can't believe we're talking wrestling that right now, but let's go for it. And Brock Lesnar came out and he just took the WWE championship off Kofi Kingston.
10 seconds.
Like that. And then before we knew it, out comes Cain Velasquez, and it feels like it's 9-10 years ago back in the UFC.
When I saw that, my first thought was Cain Velasquez got really small after his like post-fighting career. And then I was like, wow, Fox and WWE are pulling out all the stops. That's cool stuff.
And it's so funny because you see Cain Velasquez and he has that USADA body where he comes out and you know for a fact he's not taking anything. And then you look right over at Brock Lesnar. And
I beat drug test. It's what I do.
And the guy's just looking absolutely yoked. And it's such a weird thing. Could you imagine doing some type of scripted, choreographed thing with a guy that you actually got in a fight with in a cage?
Right. Exactly.
Like UFC at one point was considered human cockfighting. Like that's what it was legitimately looked at as. And now you have to go and do a choreographed fight. I mean, wow.
What do you mean by choreographed? What are you saying?
Wrestling's real.
Okay, good. All right, just checking. 610-632-0975. There you go. I think you got in a wrestling point and confined it there. Back when Brian McLaughlin, who's moved on, was here. We did the Brian McLaughlin Fanatic Hockey Minute. We did it. We tried to work it in. I can't promise that the Wrestling Minute will make one other show that we do, but it was important to get in, you know, tonight.
You mean when Mikey Mist comes back on Monday, he's not going to be talking wrestling?
I mean, the Eagles lose to the Jets. The Eagles lose to the Jets. We might be talking about anything else.
Yeah, the 5 o'clock hour might find its new thing.
Yeah, might devolve into the WWE hour. Good stuff. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Final half hour or so of the program is coming up, so you do have plenty of opportunity to get involved. So much to look at, but really, not much to hack apart. It's just the game. The Eagles going to show up against the Jets, and the Sam Darnold monoless offense. Luke Falk is there as well. Third string quarterback. Is he going to be able to hurt you? My goodness, how the stories change if the Eagles are losing to a third string quarterback. It's the Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Final half hour of the program. Still plenty of time for you to weigh in as we discuss, among other things. I can't understand how the Phillies managerial situation has gone the way that it has gone. I just don't get it. I don't understand how you could look at, oh, what's up, man? All of the various options that you have at manager and think, nah, we're good. To actually have like a battle where Jake Arrieta, of all people, is in a battle with Carlos Santana, he who smashed the television. Jake Arrieta, like the Fortniter in the clubhouse along with the children, arguing over which era of or which year had better chemistry. It's just rough stuff. It's rough overall. I want to remind you, of course, by the way, that the Fanatic 10th anniversary All-Star Day is right around the corner. 97.5 The Fanatic is celebrating our 10th anniversary next Thursday, 10-10. To celebrate, we are bringing back the Fanatic All-Star Day. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., you'll be able to hear all of our hosts in different time slots, including their own, so you'll be able to hear Mike Miss on the morning show, Anthony and Jason with Mike Miss, as well as the morning show on TV with Mike Miss. Our All-Star Day schedule of hosts and times will be posted on our website soon. It's a fun day to celebrate 10 great years and to thank all of you, our listeners. So thank you very much for everything that you guys do to make 97.5 The Fanatic what it is. Really appreciate you guys. Let's go to David in Hamilton next on 97.5. What's going on, David?
Hey, Joe.
How you doing, man?
Hey, listen, I got a question. How about the Phillies manager? How about somebody like a former player like John Kruk, you know? You might not have to pay him too much, but, you know, he has a good relationship with the players. And or do you think he's too player-friendly as far as, like, maybe the players won't respect him because he, you know, of his past with the Phillies as being, you know, a party guy and just being whatever, you know?
Well, I don't think necessarily that it's that would hurt his candidacy, right? Because I think regardless of what his past was like as a player, players just tend to respect former players. I mean, Gabe Kapler certainly generated a certain level of respect just because he's played the game and he's been there, etc. I think the thing that would hurt Kruk's candidacy is if they're not going to move on from the McPhail-Klentak like ownership or the management group, then, you know, I don't think that Kruk is quote unquote analytical enough for what they would be looking for in a manager. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but you know, this analytical stuff, you know, Yeah, I wish they just don't get back to playing ball like they used to in the 70s and the 80s, you know, Greg Luzinski, Larry Bullish,
sure.
You know, all those guys, you know. Like, bring Luzinski in, you know, maybe make him a hitting coach or something. You know, what's he up to these days, you know?
It's a good question. And, David, the thing is that I happen to agree. I thought it was weird that when they were looking and they were searching for their manager when they first hired Gabe Kapler, one of their requirements was that the guy had not managed before, like a guy who didn't have managerial experience, one of the things that they were looking for on the list. So it did make me wonder, like, are they just going purely analytical and everything? That's the way that it seems that they're just going that way. I agree, it might not be the best way to go, but that's definitely the way that this current group goes. So unless they move on from Klentak and McPhail, you're either going to see Gabe Kapler or somebody a lot like him.
Yeah, baseball's gotten, like, you know, it's not like it was in the old days. You know, just play ball. You know, play the game. You know, you overthink it too much, and look what happens. You know, I just think it's, you know, just throw the pitch, hit the ball, and just play. That's all. Like, you know, a bunch of kids. You're overgrown kids, you know, being paid a lot of money. Just think about when you were younger playing the ball. You didn't have analytics. You just played. You know?
Well, yeah, and David, and thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I don't think there's anything wrong with analytics per se. In that, I think analytics is just data. I think it's just information. That's all it is. Now, the question is, you know, what do you do with that information? That kind of changes things as well, right? Like, if you, I don't know, have information that every single time you open a refrigerator, you get smacked in the face, then you're probably not going to open the refrigerator that much. But if you have data that 10% of the time you'll get smacked in the face, but 30% of the time you'll get $100. Like, what are you going to do with that information? You know what I mean? Like, not to make it too absurd, but when you look at analytics, a lot of it is just, like, I don't know. A lot of it's just information, where the ball goes, what righties do in this situation, what lefties do in this situation, how many times things happen. Like, it's just info. That's all it is. And it is dependent on whether you are bound by that information, whether you are kind of just beholden to it. Because then a computer can do that job. The question becomes, like, I appreciate having all of the information. It's, do you rule the information or do you let the information rule you? 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. And to be fair, of all of the sports, I think that baseball is probably the most legitimate in terms of use of analytics just because of sample sizes, right? Because it's a game of failure to begin with. So if you can, if you're a hitter and you complete your job at a 40% success rate, you're a Hall of Famer, right? So any small variances there over the course of 162 games might lead you to additional runs, might lead you to additional wins, et cetera, right? Couple areas where it doesn't matter at all. College football. I hope that analytics doesn't exist in college football because that's just flat out ridiculous. Players aren't there long enough and the season's not long enough. Issue with the NFL. Should not have really analytics-driven decisions in it because, well, you've only got 16 games. It gets more legitimate in basketball and hockey, and then in the baseball world, it's the most legitimate. But does that mean that we're just going to completely... Here's one thing that it totally doesn't allow for. Being in the zone, you know, just really feeling it. I think anyone who's been in sports, regardless of your skill level, regardless, you've probably been in the zone before where you've done things that you didn't think that you'd be able to do against competition, that you did not think that you'd be able to compete with.
I would say no.
That's never happened to you, Josh. You're always the one who people are in the zone against. That's a shame. But for those of you who aren't Josh, a lot of people have experienced this. Whether you're golfing or playing basketball or whatever it is, analytics doesn't really account for that. Analytics doesn't really account for the fact that, all right, well, the pitcher said 100 pitches, and the pitcher looks the manager in the face and says, Skip, I am so fired up, I could throw 100 more pitches. Like, I am ready to go. Let me keep doing this. Sorry, computer says. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that makes me hesitant. Now, sometimes it saves you. Sometimes that guy's so fired up, he throws a 93-mile-an-hour meatball down the plate and just crushes it. Or it gets crushed, rather. But sometimes I think you do have to account for the fact that a guy's hot, in the zone, rolling, whatever you want to say. It's like Deuce Staley divvying up the running back labor and not having a feel for who has the hot hand and who you need to keep going. I think these are things that are the balancing acts that we've got to worry about. It's also what separates us from the machines, at least until Skynet takes over, and then John Connor's our last hope. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You can reach out on Twitter as well, at Joe Torti, at 97.5, The Fanatic. The tweets are coming in. Keep those coming. I'll try to get those in over the course of the final portions of the show here. JB Faz 1213 tweets in. John Middleton is deciding whether he's going to clean house. I think he will. McPhail, Klentak, Kapler. I don't know about you. I think that the Phillies managerial job stinks right now. I think that it's really, it's not a way that you can, it's not an attractive job. You can't bring in high-level managerial talent right now. However, if you're doing a clean sweep kind of situation, I think it gets much more attractive. If you're a manager, you don't want to come in and your boss was here already. Right? You don't want to come in and be like, okay, well, I'm the manager and I was hired. And now you're like being forced to coexist, for example, with Matt Klentak when you guys have conflicting views on the way the thing should go. It's just something to think about. Because if you get rid of the entire power structure and then bring in somebody else and a manager who is a part of that power structure and assisting and organizing it and everything else, you probably have a better time. Man, it always does depress me to watch teams turn it up in the baseball postseason. You know what I mean? Like, we're watching the Phillies and we're like, oh, are they going to make it? Can they win enough games against the Marlins to scratch out that second wild card bid? And you got the Twins and the Yankees who have hit like 8,000 home runs this year, like just going head to head. It's like, all right, cool. I'm glad I understand this. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Of course, as Sam Fry puts it, who cares? Flyers 1-0. And that, of course, is true. Patrick Kane got doubled up by Travis Konecny today. And Konecny is on pace. I mean, I'm no math major, but like 164 goals this year, right? Something like that. 164 goals. That's what he's on pace for. So we'll keep an eye out for that. 610-632-0975. Also, coming up on the other side, we'll take a walk around the show, figure out how we got here, and then, of course, bring you one more thing as well. So all of that is coming up in a matter of moments. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Final segment, Joe Torti Show. We started off teaming up with Devon Gibbons. Good to be back in the saddle with Devon. Outstanding to talk with him, of course. We got into the Jets and things that concern you. Talked about the cornerback situation. Is there going to be a trade? Can the corners possibly play well enough if there is not a trade? Anything else that worries you about the Jets game? Long story short, nope, not really. So that was a kind of brief conversation. We also had a conversation about the NBA heights and whether you would want to know whether NBA players are actually the heights at which they are listed or not. I'm a big fan of this. The league is, I guess, pushing for more transparency in terms of how tall.
I'm much better at getting high than getting low.
Well said, Bill. I guess the big push is now they want to know how tall players actually are. Josh, are you a fan of that initiative, or do you not really care, like how tall or how heavy players are?
No, I do like a little bit of transparency, because for how many years AI was listed as 6'1", and we know that ain't the truth.
Yeah, that is definitely not true. So we talked about that. Of course, we also melted into the Gabe Kapler stuff as well. And I feel like until something happens, that's just going to be kind of continuous. This kind of strikes me, and maybe I'm just bizarre. Does Brett Gardner look a little bit like an older version of Dabo Swinney? I'm seeing him on TV, and I only remember Brett Gardner as when I was in New York being like a rookie. And I'm like, you look like older Dabo. Josh, is that true? Does he look like older Dabo Swinney?
He really does.
Oh! Somebody screen grab that and send it to me so that I can proliferate it throughout the internet and get all the likes. Let me know. Greg in New Hope is on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Greg?
What's up, Joe? What's up, Joe?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Listen, first of all, I just wanted to get this out of the way. I think your analysis of baseball tonight has been amazing.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, Greg.
Bro, honestly, it's pretty impressive. I think you're right. I think that analytics, like I was telling your screener, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but
Josh, he's the man.
Yeah, I'm Josh. It's analysis, right? It's analytics. Now, analytics is analysis, and then analysis of information.
Right.
And how you implement it is a matter of perspective. That's it.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I think that it's too easy to have information, right, that says that this guy is more likely to surrender a hit than strike this guy out or get this guy out. It's one thing to have that and say, okay, well, the decision's made, or to make a decision with that information in mind but still have that decision be yours. You know what I mean?
100%, and that's the whole point. Perspective dictates what you're going to do with the information. So you see this guy is this way or that guy is that way, and you say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and your decision is always based on perspective. When you talk about sports, bro, like honestly, I know you're a young man. You're probably in your mid-30s. I'm in my late 40s. That's our perspective of sports. sports, right? Like, we share that. My point to you is that when you talk about things, you talk about your perspective.
Yes.
And you give it, that's the whole point.
Of course.
That's the whole point. So when you look at a manager and he's doing things like, you know, we're all questioning, you know, baseball people. And I'm not a baseball guy. Like, I just want to, like, full, you know, disclosure.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a problem because, you know, the analytics are there and everybody has them. It's computerized. It's data, sample size, like you said earlier. All that stuff is happening. But, you know, implementation of that knowledge is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk to young minds, right, young people, like I have children, I have four kids. You have two, I have four kids, and they have friends, and they're all, you know, they're every kids are over. And we talk about that kind of stuff. What do we talk about? I go, I'm going to show you my hand. You guys are all in a circle, and I want you to draw my hand. And everybody's going to come up with a completely different drawing, not
sure.
because of talent only, but because they're looking at it from a different vantage point.
Absolutely.
You feel what I'm saying?
I do. So, Greg, what do you think of the job, understanding that you're not, like, in it, and your perspective is not as, like, a former major leaguer or anything like that? What do you make of the job that Gabe's done so far?
Good question. Look, I go to 3-4 games a year, right? And I do watch some of the games, just not as close as the other three sports I mentioned.
Sure.
But
yep.
he's at 500. He's average. I'm using analytics too. So
that's true. If you go 81 and 81, Craig, good stuff, man. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Sorry, I got to move on here. I enjoyed talking to you. But yeah, that's true. Advanced stats say that 81 and 81 is 500. And if you're spending 13 years and $330 million on one player, you probably expect to be a little bit better than average. It's almost like how we all laugh at the Angels. And we say, oh, yeah, well, I'm glad that you threw all that money at Mike Trout because you guys are going to suck forever until they fire Brad Ausmus and go out and they're going to get Joe Maddon. And if that means that they get Garrett Cole. And it's almost like they're trying to get better in a hurry. It's almost like they identify, yes, we're bad now, but we're not going to be bad forever. All right, it's time. That time, once again, the world famous, often imitated, never duplicated, the one, the only, one more thing.
But there is one more thing.
Yeah, this is coming to us from the baseball playoffs, where the time-honored tradition comes in. It's this time every single year where the Clayton Kershaw playoff meltdown just occurs. This is so strange to me, I can't even tell you. Clayton Kershaw is one of, and this is saying something because I'm not saying that I'm the world's biggest baseball fan / mind. I've seen a significant number of pitchers. Clayton Kershaw, for my money, is one of the top 10 or 15 pitchers these two eyes have ever seen in the regular season. Let me finish. In the regular season. Another blow up for Clayton Kershaw today. And stunningly, Kershaw is unable to pitch in the postseason. I'm trying to find his official line that he had today, but he was the reason that the Dodgers were in the hole. 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 runs, 3 earned, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. Allowed 3 runs in the first 2 innings. Nothing after that. But every single time he gives up those runs early on, people in LA are thinking, oh boy, here we go. Explanation for how this could stinks all the time. So are they.
The greatest regular season. Regularly around 2. It's this year. It's in the play-in game. And then, because pitching's that important. Kershaw on the mound and
2. line. ERA for a dominant regular season. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in. My co-host for this evening, Devon Givens, of course, thank him as well for sharing the first couple hours of the show with me. Josh Rabick has been with us all the way, doing outstanding work. Thank you, Josh.
You got it, too.
That'll wrap things up for us today. I will be back on the airwaves tomorrow for This Week in Pro Football. Everybody have a great weekend. Go Birds, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a great night. Talk to you later on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.